Well, this has been special tonight, just to be still in His presence. I'm sure I've said this here before, but you are aware that stillness magnifies things. That faucet may have been dripping all day long, but it wasn't until you laid down and got still that it got so big that you had to do something about it. Really, a baby crying doesn't seem to be that distracting a matter until you're in church. You get still. Or if you're on an airplane, I can tell who has children and grandchildren and who doesn't on an airplane. As soon as the baby goes to crying, the ones that don't, boy, they're ready to change the whole situation. The rest of us just sort of keep on doing what we're doing. But He said to be still and know that I'm God. And certainly He can't be made to be any bigger than He already is. But in the stillness, there are times when we catch a glimpse of His bigness. And I thank Him afresh tonight for who He is. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. And I'd like to share a thought tonight that's worked in me through the years. I've never really known how to declare it, and I don't know that I know how tonight. But I know it's here, and I trust that God would give us light as we meditate upon some of these verses together tonight. I want to begin reading in verse number 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I tried to preach last night on the cries of the cross, and we looked at the early verses of this chapter. This is definitely more than the experience of David. This is the Spirit of Jesus bearing witness to Christ's sufferings through David. And we sense a measure of what Christ sensed as we meditate upon this psalm called the Psalm of the Cross. I have preached every animal in the Old Testament which I believe to be a type of Christ. If I've understood the Bible correctly, this Bible is not just a book about Moses, and it is not just a book about Isaiah. This is a book about Christ. This is the record that God hath given unto us of His Son. And I believe that in all these types and figures, Christ is presented. Of course, He's the Passover Lamb. Paul says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And in the same sense, the sacrificial animal known as the bullock would point us to Christ, our strong substitute. The turtle doves would remind us of His innocence and His purity. All of the various sacrificial animals point us to Christ. But when we come to these verses tonight, we have sort of an overlap of typology, and we see the crowds around the cross typified by animals. There are at least three different animals mentioned in these verses. In verse 12, he talked about bulls, the strong bulls of Bashan. In verse 13, he said, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. And then in verse 16, he said, for dogs have compassed me or encircled me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Again in verse 21, he said, deliver my darling from the power of the dog. And he added in verse 21, save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. And that unicorn seems to be the same animal referred to as a bull in verse number 12. It's the same Hebrew term. At any rate, we're confronted here with man's utter corruption, his animal-like nature, his anti-righteous spirit. Here we are in our fallen state, for we are certainly utterly corrupt apart from God's redeeming grace. You know, there's been a big discussion about, since the movie came out, The Passion, on whether the Jews were responsible for Christ's death or the Romans were responsible for Christ's death. But the truth is, you were responsible for Christ's death. I was responsible for Christ's death. Of course, if you really want to look at it from a God perspective, God ordained the death of Christ. And so we're confronted with symbols, pictures of the crowd around the cross. And so I want to preach for a few minutes tonight on the crowds of the cross. I believe you'll see yourself in the crowds. Here we are, apart from the grace of God. I have not listened to a lot of news lately. I've just heard tidbits here and there. I'm getting a little wiser in my old age. Instead of listening to it every day or two or three times every day, I wait till Saturday and hear what everybody else has been hearing all week. And it's the same old junk on Saturday as it was on Monday. At any rate, I have been somewhat aroused and interested by the riots that these cartoons have seemingly stirred up. The Muslims have shown their forefathers' wild nature, throwing rocks and anything else they could in mob form, in some uncontrollable fashion. I can't help but feel that must have been the way it was around the cross that day as the Lord Jesus died for sin. Man in his fierce, wild, uncontrolled, his state of alienation from God is set forth in a very bitter fashion here. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to say three things. I want us to look firstly at the visible comparisons. This is not me likening us unto dogs and lions and bulls. This is Christ likening man unto dogs and lions and bulls. I preached this sermon about 3 weeks ago, and my wife asked me what I was going to preach. And I said, well, tonight, the Lord helping me, I'm going to preach on those verses in Psalm 22 that describes Christ's crucifiers and you and me as dogs, bulls, and lions. She said, you mean that they're paying you to come and tell them that they're a bunch of dogs? I said, well, the meeting's not ended yet. We'll find out. But this is God's analysis of fallen man. I want you to notice, firstly, in these visible comparisons, we're likened unto bulls. Now, my first question when I meditated upon this comparison to human nature as that of a bull, what is symbolized here? What is projected? And then he describes these bulls as the strong bulls of Bashan. Bashan was a very fertile territory. And the animals had plenty to eat in Bashan, in the plains of Bashan. And so we have not just bulls, but unusual displays of strong bulls. This is the high line of bulls. And so I want to refer to the bulls as a picture of the pride of man. In ourselves, we feel like we're really something. Strong, capable. Just ask me and let me tell you. Or let me tell you about my children or my grandchildren and all their abilities. Or let me tell you about things that I've done. The strong, prancing bulls that come against God's Son. That's the projection here. And man's pride, stomping and gouging and horning our way through life, showing everybody that we can handle it. We can do it. The pride of man is projected here by the bulls. That's the comparison. Somebody said, well, I'd really like to know more about myself. Well, this is not a pleasant picture. Are you ready for it? The Son of God is hanging on a cross, and here you come, as though you're bullying God and pushing God around. That's what we're like, apart from the grace of God. And then he added, not only are we like bulls, representative of the pride of man, but he said, not only did the bulls encircle him and beset him around, but they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. Again, in verse number 21, he talked about the lion's mouth. Here we're reminded of the power of man. Now, you and I who are saved know that man at his best is weak and vain. But in his thinking, he's capable. Get out of my way. I'll take care of the situation. Don't tell me that I need God. I'll do it on my own. The power, the forceful attitude of man. Like a lion. The lion is known as the king of the animal family. And man is over the animal family. Here he is represented as a ravening and roaring lion. Then you'll notice the third comparison is that of vicious dogs. Verse number 16, for dogs have compassed me. Now, this word for dogs is not like a household pet. If you would have told me 25 years ago that I would have ever had a cat and had a cat that I led in the house, I would have mocked you. I would have never done it. But I've softened in my old age. And we have a pet that's got some right of way. Of course, I used to preach sermons, you know, about buying dog food and cat food. Now I'm practicing what I preached. That's right. But this is not a pet. This is not a little doggy that's cute. This is a vicious scoundrel. This is that dog outside the back door down at the meat house with his teeth all gnarled and they're growling and waiting for them to throw out a piece of meat. Jesus said, this crowd around the cross are not only like bulls and lions, but they're like dogs. They've got blood, the taste of blood in them. Here we have the pursuit of man. This verse got on my heart today. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Here we are, howling, bloodthirsty, give it my way. I have my desires, I have my hopes, I have my aspirations. And those dogs keep persisting and pursuing until they wear down the enemy, the prey. And so we're confronted first of all with the visible companions. Well, you say, preacher, that's not me. Apart from the grace of God, that's you. And apart from the grace of God, that's me. Opposing Christ. Pilate said, I find no fault in him at all. And the crowd said, crucify him. Crucify him. He said, we have a law that a prisoner can be released at Passover. They said, release unto us Barabbas. We'll take a common criminal above the pure Christ. Well, then what would you have me do with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. Like bull stomping and attacking, and like fierce lions showing man's strength apart from God, and like howling bloodthirsty dogs, we nailed him to a cross. These are the visible comparisons. Now I want us to go a step farther. If it can be seen to be any worse, I'd like to take some of the attributes of these animals, and I want to say a word about the vicious cruelty. Yes, we've looked at the comparisons, but the cruelty here is beyond grasp. They're mocking him. They're laughing at him. They've already said in verse 8, he trusted on the Lord, that the Lord would deliver him. let him trust in him now. They mocked him. To add to that, you've got two thieves, one on one side and one on the other of Christ. He's numbered with transgressors. And below the cross, you've got the soldiers gambling over the garment. They divided the garments in four, and then they cast lots for that coat without seam that some dear woman must have taken a lot of painful work and time to produce for Christ without any seams in it, woven throughout. And they began to gamble. Isn't this something, the Holy Son of God hanging on the cross? And thieves on each side, and gambling soldiers beneath the cross. And Jesus said, all they are is a bunch of bulls, a bunch of lions, a bunch of dogs. It intrigues me how that animals sometimes run in packs. I live at the end of a road. And I live at the end of the county too. You go another 50 feet and you're in another county. But the dogs seem to me to gather out there at the end of that row. I don't know why all the neighborhood dogs feel like my yard is a place to get together. And if one goes to barking, they all go to barking. And I'll have to get up 3 o'clock in the morning and go out and pick up a rock and throw it at them as they take off down the hill, running together. They've joined up. They're going to show their strength. They're going to show who they are. And here we have that same idea set forth. The bulls are gathered together, the strong bulls, the lions. And the dogs have compassed him. They're going round and round, stalking their prey, as it were. Let me mention, first of all, you've got the revenging bulls, getting even, charging. And you'll notice again, there's more than one bull here. Bulls, the bulls of Bashan. I reflect back on even my life prior to coming to Christ. And there were many nights I did not leave home to get in trouble. I did not leave home thinking I'm going to see how much property I can destroy tonight. I'm going to see how many people I can hurt. But there were times when you got in the crowd and the crowd moved in that direction and you moved with them. You were carried by that atmosphere. The cruelty of one heart seemed to bring out the cruelty of another heart. The interest of one depraved soul seemed to cause the interest of other depraved souls to surface. And there you were. Like birds of a feather, you flock together. And Jesus said, they're around me now. They're assaulting me. They're charging me. They've compassed me. They've beset me around. And not only are they like revenging bulls, stomping and showing their rage. I thought of a wild bull at the rodeo. And there's that fellow with that little red cloth showing how powerful he is. And about that time, that bull picks him up in the air, or picks him up and hurls him about 20 feet. And all of a sudden, he's not too wonderful. I'm saying you've got a wild bull and you've got ravaging lions. They're roaring. They're seeking whom they may destroy and devour. They're not pretty kitty cats. They're wild lions. Our oldest daughter loved to go to the zoo when she was little. Sometimes if we were around a zoo, whether it's large or small, we'd try to take her for a couple of hours. And she always called the lions and the tigers the big kitty cats. And one day we were at the Riverbank Zoo in Columbia, South Carolina. And we were there at the time that the feeder brought out the raw meat and slung it out to those big kitty cats. We were standing there when they were fed, and when one of those lions roared at the other, it felt like the ground shook. And I had one little girl crawling up Daddy's leg. And they never were big kitty cats anymore, son. They were ferocious animals from that time on. And here the Lord Jesus does not look at man and say, bless his heart. He doesn't mean that. He doesn't feel that way. He's just a little, somebody needs a little guidance and a little help and he'll do better. No, Jesus said they're like roaring lions. They're out of control. They're wanting to go their way. They're stalking the prey. And they're like relentless dogs. Dogs that takes blood and they can't quit until they get blood. Our middle daughter is the pet lover in our family and she's invaded our world with animals and I've given in a little bit, but maybe a whole lot. But at any rate, somebody gave her one of those blue-eyed dogs. I don't know what kind of dog it was. Some of y'all know more about it. Sort of an Alaskan type dog. Looked to me like it's worth a lot of money, and apparently some others in the community thought it was. And it had wolf in it, man. And I told her from the start, I said, we got trouble right here. Oh, Daddy, isn't he cute? Yeah, he's cute, honey, but we're going to have to build a big pen for a dog like that. Oh, no, that little dog wouldn't hurt anything. I know it's got wolf. I said, honey, that's a ferocious animal if it goes tasting blood. Oh, Daddy, I knew you'd think like that. But one night the dog didn't come in when we called. And when we got up the next morning, I found a cat out in the yard that had been mangled. And I went ahead and buried the cat and didn't say anything. hoping maybe the neighbors wouldn't be coming over. The next night, the dog didn't come in again. The next morning, we had another cat out in the yard. Son, that dog was cleaning out Catville. And I told her, I said, we're going to end up in court. They're going to sue us. Somebody out here in the community is going to sue us. And thankfully, one night the dog never did come back. I'm going to tell you, you can't train it out of them. If they ever get a taste for blood, they'll have that until their dying hour. And so it is with sinners. In our nature, there's a capacity to hate God. Somebody say, well, I don't believe any human being really hates God. Then why don't they use their mama's name in vain instead of God's? Why don't they use their neighbor's name in vain? If they really want to be tough, why don't they use their name in vain? No, there's something inside that says God will not tell me what to do. I live the way I want to live. And they've got a taste for self and a taste for the world. And it drives them. It moves them. Somebody said, well, my child will never turn out like that. I know it. Yours is going to be worse. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're corrupt. We're depraved. We're fallen creatures. And the Lord Jesus so vividly depicts it here as they rage around the cross. But I'm glad that's not the end of the story tonight. I want you to come down to those last couple of verses where he talks about the dog and the lion and the unicorn or the bull. And I want to mention lastly tonight not only the visible comparisons and the vicious cruelty. Not little pets, but wild, ferocious beasts. I want you to notice the vain conspiracy. They got together like packs of dogs, like bulls from Bashan, like lions. They stalked the prey. They think, boy, we're going to bite, we're going to gnash, we're going to tear, we're going to accomplish. What they didn't realize is all their conspiracy was vain. God had purposed that Christ die for sin and not die in defeat, but die in triumph and victory. And when we get down to verse number 19, Jesus cries, be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me. Get this language now. Deliver me. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me. Oh, brother, there's assurance there. Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns while they've been gouging me and coming at me, mocking me and tearing at me. Thou hast heard my cry. My cry for deliverance. My cry for salvation. I want to say everything that sinners did in putting Christ on the cross, as far as their intention is concerned, was vain because of the salvation of the Lamb. God has intervened and heard His Son. And not only is there the salvation of the Lamb, Christ will prevail. He takes the tree and turns it into a throne. Takes the cross and turns it into a means of conquest. In verse 22, we have the song of the Lamb. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Or as it's stated in the Hebrew epistle, will I sing praises unto thee. Jesus the Lamb is singing now. Yes, he was overwhelmed with sorrow. Waves of sorrow overcame his soul. But now he sings in triumph. And notice in verse number 23, we not only see the salvation of the Lamb and the song of the Lamb, but we're reminded of the seed of the Lamb. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel. Jesus did not die in vain. What sinners did to Him, how you felt about Him, how I felt about Him, did not defeat Him. But the tables have been turned and He comes forth as the mighty Savior. He comes forth singing in the midst of His people. He comes forth promising that there's going to be a seed. He's going to have a posterity. He's going to have a people. That's why He died on the cross, was to purchase us with His own blood. And the promise here is that He's going to see the travail of His soul. Yes, sir. The vain conspiracy. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The crowds of the cross are brought in defeat by the little Lamb. I couldn't understand why Brother Joe Parsons would say something about the little Lamb. But you know, all the way through the book of the Revelation, it's the little lambkin. That's the title given to Jesus in the book of the Revelation. God's little lambkin. God doesn't have to have bulls against bulls, and dogs against dogs, and lions against lions. He calls on the Lamb as the Lamb calls on Him. And victory is won at Calvary. I like that. Some of you remember when we read some of Aesop's fables. I don't know that this is one of Aesop's, but I read a fictitious account, a non-realistic account, of a wolf that kept eyeing a little flock of sheep. And he tried to figure out how he could get in amongst them. Boy, I want to get in there and get me one of those little sheep. And on one occasion, one of the lambkins died and its little fleece was cast over to the side. And in the night, he slipped in and put that fleece on and looked like a sheep himself. The next afternoon, he came into the flock, slipped in like a fox, like a wolf, but donned like a sheep. And he thought, I'm going to get me a sheep for supper. Boy, I'm going to get me a sheep for supper. But the shepherd decided he was going to slay a sheep for supper. You know the one that the shepherd slew? The fox dressed up like a sheep. I want to tell you, the devil thought he had this thing in his back pocket as he encircled the Christ and as he mocked Him, as he roared like a lion, howled like a dog, raged like a bull, pawed and stomped. Thought he had it all wrapped up. But the very one that thought he had it all wrapped up was the one who was defeated and destroyed the power of the devil. Hebrews chapter 2 was brought to naught at the cross. At the cross. The little lamb doesn't look like he's a match for the crowd, but when it's over, the crowd's no match for the little lamb. And the lamb hath prevailed. The lamb hath prevailed. And you can preach this gospel and believe God's going to raise up a seed. You can sing this gospel and believe that God's going to raise up a seed. You can pray over sinners and believe that God is going to raise up a seed, because all that the devil did was in vain. And the Lamb hath prevailed. God's people hadn't gone to the dogs, they've gone to the Lamb. Because the Lamb hath prevailed. Oh, may our hearts revel in this truth. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You're standing with me, please. Brother Allen, could we sing another verse or two of that psalm, More Love to Thee, before we go our way tonight? Our Father, accept our gratitude for this time together. We ask that somehow Thou wouldst take these truths and let them live in us. I pray that Thou wouldst grant us a spirit of praise. May we say, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us to look through the fog and look through the opposition and look through the enemy's territory and see a God who's on the throne and the Lamb prevailing for Thy glory. For that one that's yet unsaved, I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst bring them to the foot of the cross. May they lay their rebellion down and become followers of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
363.
While we sing, may our hearts be exercised towards Him. More love to Thee, O Christ. Sing it now.
More love to life.